this is Baby Hour, radio for parenting.
Hello, and a very warm welcome to Baby Hour. I'm your host, Carolyn M., and I'm absolutely delighted. I can't tell you, I've got a very special guest today. It's Mr. Tim McCarthy, and he's the author of Raising Four-Dimensional Children in a Two-Dimensional World. Hi, Tim, and a very warm welcome to Baby Hour today.
Thank you for inviting me, and happy morning, happy afternoon to all the mums out there.
Now, I'm going to just go straight into our interview, and I'm going to say to you, give us the four dimensions, 1, 2, 3, 4, so that we know what we're talking about here.
Sure. I'm talking about, I want to raise four-dimensional children. Now, the four dimensions, if you know your basic geometry, are length, width, depth, and according to H.G. Wells many years ago, time. So anything in the real world, if it has length and width, those are the two dimensions. So if you're listening, if you were watching a podcast or a TV or even looking on your phone, that's the two-dimensional world. It has only length and width, but no depth. And many of the stuff that's on the internet nowadays have no depth anyway, in a separate sense. But depth gives it three-dimensional view. So when we look in the world, there's depth to it, but there's also time. Something has to exist for a period of time for us to be aware of it and interact with it. So those are the four dimensions of space, I guess. And what I did is I paralleled that to the four dimensions of human existence, which are the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual. And okay, so what I want to do...
You were talking about, you said the physical, which is the spiritual, the emotional,
and mental.
And mental. Now, is it in any particular order or not in any particular order? You're going to talk about that later on. Or is it, can be, the four can be in any order? Is one of the four any more important than the other?
I would say no. Now, as you grow up, you may choose one over the other. You may become a professional athlete, and the physical becomes extremely important to you. You may become a spiritual leader, like a pastor, and then the spiritual becomes more important to you. But my point is that when you're raising a child, you need to be aware that the child has four dimensions, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, and you want to help him or her grow in all four of those dimensions. And so what I do is I break down some research. I've been an educator for over 40 years, but I've done some intensive research in developmental psychology lately and report over 200 studies in the book to back up what I say as to what's happening to the child's brain. The child, first of all, we talk prenatal and how to affect the child's growth while he's still in your body.
Okay, so that's interesting to us. We're Baby Hour. So we're going to start right there. Prenatal. Okay, the mom's pregnant. The baby's growing inside her mom. So four dimensions whilst it's still inside the womb. So how do we deal with that? Do we communicate with all four, or are we just want to be made aware that there are four?
We need to be aware of all four, and we need to start communicating or developing all four. So, for example, physically, one of the worst things you can do to the unborn baby is to put bad substances in your body because they affect the development of the baby. So if you're drinking alcohol, if you're smoking cigarettes, if you're unfortunately doing drugs, all of that affects the baby's growth physically, but it also, there's a lot of research that it affects the baby's growth mentally. It affects the development of the brain while it's still in your body. So you can make a tremendous difference in your baby's brain and therefore mental development just by taking the wrong things into your body while you're still pregnant.
Okay, so we're talking, as you said, we're talking drugs, alcohol, cigarettes. What about food and good foods, bad foods? Where does that come in your brain development?
Absolutely. Food makes a big difference. Just for example, omega-3 fatty acids. If you have sufficient omega-3 during pregnancy and even while you're breastfeeding, that can have a bigger effect on the child's advancing in school in the childhood years than where you live or your social and economic background. Just that, there have been correlations to increased benefits just by the amount of omega-3s you have.
Well, it's funny you should talk about omega-3. I remember omega-3 in my day was castor oil, if I'm not right. And we used to get, I'm quite old, as you can probably tell. We used to get given as a treat, well, whatever, you know, a spoonful on a daily or other basis. And so am I getting it wrong here? Should we be better thinkers? Should our brain be getting developed then from our castor oil?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily go back to castor oil, but there are tremendous supplements nowadays of oils like flaxseed oil, like DHEA for vegetarians, or fish oil for normal people who don't worry about not eating flesh. And of course, fresh caught fish are great sources of omega-3 fatty acids. You have to watch also. Now we're going off into nutrition more than babies, but you have to watch your omega-3 to your omega-6 balance. If you have too much of omega-6s, that balance offsets the omega-3s and does bad things to your system.
Okay. Okay, we'll move back to the babies. That's all very interesting, but we're baby orientated here. So we're saying the pre-birth, prenatal, we want to avoid. Well, I think it's pretty common knowledge to avoid drink, drugs, smoking cigarettes. I believe it's pretty common knowledge in certainly in the Western world, and I think it's with the internet, it's probably filtered through worldwide pretty much. You know that it's not good news whilst you're pregnant to be doing any of these things. So let's move on to the baby when the baby's born, and let's move away from the, or we can carry on talking a little bit about the physical and move on to one of the other dimensions.
Well, just one thing, emotionally, while the baby is still in the womb, any emotions that the mother experiences, if she's depressed, if she's anxious, if she gets upset very often, and there's these cortisols flowing through the body, that will affect setting the baby's thermostat. So if the mother is always worried and the baby is used to having these hormones run through her body when the baby's born, its natural thermostat will be to be worried. If the mother is basically happy, the baby's thermostat will be set to be happy. So that's the emotional part of caring for your baby while it's still in the womb. Keep the mother happy.
Wait a minute. So you're saying that a happy mom will have a happy baby, but does it mean that the baby's going to come out happy and stay happy, or it just gives them a quick advantage for, you know, on their initial popping out? I mean,
of course, you set the emotional thermostat, but then it develops according to the world around it. So you can't control everything, but you want to do the best you can. So if you can be as happy as you can be, you have the better chance of starting with a happy baby. Once the baby's born, if it doesn't cry, you're in trouble. The first thing, doctor slaps it, makes it cry, so it starts breathing. But you don't want it to cry as much as it, you want it to cry as little as possible. It's going to communicate. And so how does the baby communicate? It smiles sometimes, but newborns, it's kind of hard. As they get a little older, they'll start to smile more. But they will communicate with a different cry, a whimper, any kind of noise. And since the baby can't learn your language that early, you have to learn the baby's language. And it has four basic needs. It is fine, fear, flight, and fight, the four Fs. And if the baby's fine, everything is fine, the mom is fine. If it's in fear, you've got to somehow console it. If it's in flee, maybe its diaper is full and it wants to get out of there, you've got to recognize that cry is different than the fear cry. And if it's angry, if it's fight, that's a different cry. So you've got to try to determine what sound your baby makes in each of these four emotions when it's a very little baby and understand, oh, that's what it wants, and then try to do something about it. And they say in research that even the best parents only get it right about half the time, but they keep trying. They don't give up. And that teaches the baby that mom will be there for you and help you. And it helps give the baby that security that somebody cares. And so if at first you don't succeed, you think the baby's crying because of this, try it. And if it doesn't work, try something else. Maybe it's just gas, who knows? But the baby will tell you it needs something. You have to learn the baby's language and then react the best way you can.
That's interesting, because it takes me back to one of our previous interviewers who talked about sign language for babies. But so it's very interesting what you're saying right now. Go ahead. So with the baby's come out and the baby's been born, and we've trying to give it the best start, like you say, the happy baby, happy mommy. And the baby starts to grow, you know, as they're growing. So again, how do we recognize they're growing? They're 6 months old, they're 9 months old. How do we recognize and how do we fulfill the four D's?
All right. And so that's a very big question. It takes a whole book to answer it, or at least a chapter.
Maybe let's just talk about one thing. We'll just talk about the physical or the emotional. We'll choose one that you'd like to talk about.
All right, let's start with the emotional. And the baby, of course, needs attachment. And when it cries, it needs somebody to be there to answer its needs. And so as I was saying a few minutes ago, that's how you develop a secure baby, is answering its needs. If the baby cries and nobody answers, mom is too busy, mom is off doing something else, talking on the phone, playing on Facebook, and the baby cries and cries, it learns that the world doesn't really care about it. And so that sets its emotional clock or its emotional thermostat for later in life. Whereas if you provide that care, and this is why it's important to be with the baby in the first year, at least if you can. If you can't, get your grandmom or an uncle or a cousin or somebody to spend time with the baby. In the States here, we've got childcare for people who have to work. I mean, not everybody has the luxury of staying home with the baby. If you have to work, you try to find a childcare center that is high quality, because the difference in childcare centers where they pay attention to the baby as opposed to kind of just let it be, of course, affects the way the baby learns to interact with the world. There are all kinds of things. I break down the infant chapter. First of all, the book is broken down into age groups. So you have a prenatal chapter, an infant chapter, a toddler chapter, all the way up to the teenage years. And in the infant chapter, I break it down by the months, 0 to 2 months, 2 to 6, 6 to 9, 9 to 12, because the baby is different in each of those age groups. And then I break down specifically in the 2 to 6 months, what to do physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And just simple things, emotional things like smiling at the baby and getting the baby to smile back. One of the best things to do to develop the baby is what Harvard University calls serve and return. The baby serves up something, a look. You return it like a tennis player with a look of your own, and then get him or her to come back to you. And this serve and return, you basically play tennis with words, with emotions, with actions. You take a little toy, you bring it, and the child reaches out for it. All right? I mean, and so he reaches out.
Isn't that a bit like common sense? Or have we lost...
Maybe for someone your age and your experience?
In the modern age, have we lost common sense because we're too busy with our devices that we've actually forgotten, you know, the instinctive ape You know, an ape is instinctively, you know, holds its little chimp, you know, in a certain way, and takes his little chimp on his back when he's climbing up a tree, etc. And we also used to live in an age where, you know, somebody would kind of show us, or we would watch maybe on the TV, you know, somebody picks up a baby and smiling and coo, coo, coo. I mean, have we forgotten this? Have we lost this? Where did we come to that we actually need somebody to tell us to smile back at the baby?
Well, I'm going to say something on the edge of being rude. You're older and very experienced in talking about babies, but a new mother is doing this for the first time. And if she's in touch with her natural instincts, yes, she may hold the baby. She may know how to do that. But even though that's common sense to you, I don't think it's common sense to a new mother, or especially a new father, who may have no idea what to do with a baby. And so what I've done is put together the owner's manual for new parents. And so all the things you don't really know, and the scientific research that wouldn't be just an instinct to know when the baby, for example, it doesn't respond to punishment and reward. For the first 6 months, the baby doesn't respond. So spanking or yelling at the baby for the first couple of months, he doesn't know what's going on. He just knows he's getting yelled at. At a certain age, he can start to connect that, oh, if I do that, I get my hand slapped. Or if I do that, mommy is angry with me and she raises her voice. But up to a certain age, it doesn't connect in the baby's brain. So these are the sort of things that instinct doesn't tell you, research does, and I've done the research for you.
Excellent. So actually, we're going to have to wrap up there because in a few words, what I've got from this is wonderful. I like the way you said the users, and what was it, a user's manual? Did you call it for the baby?
Yes, the owner's manual for the baby.
Okay, so when you get a new car, you know, you get the manual and it tells you, you know, where the indicators are and where the light switches are and blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. So you've basically broken it down, like you say, in the user's manual, like you say, explained in your four dimensions about every part of the, I don't like to say the user, a user's manual. I like it, but I don't like it's like I say, it's a bit like a car, but it actually explains what you mean by user's manual, is an explanation of how to be with your child, if you like.
Absolutely. And again, what I've done specifically is I've broken it down into chapters and I've made it available in chapters. So for example, if you don't know me and you don't really trust me and don't want to buy my whole book, just buy the chapter for the age of your child. And so if you're prenatal, you can buy the prenatal chapter. If you've just had the baby, an infant, even a toddler. And if you like it, you could buy the whole book and have the map of what to do all the way through adolescence, which is very different, of course, from the childhood years. But again, it's the owner's manual all the way through. It's available at 4D-2D.com, and the D meaning as in dimension. So one more time, 4D dash, don't forget the dash, you'll end up in China somewhere, 4D-2D.com. And that's where you can purchase the book for an immediate download, extremely inexpensive.
That's absolutely wonderful. That's absolutely wonderful. I mean, we've had a very quick chat. We haven't really had the chance to really get into anything at all. But that's the whole reason that you're on here, so people can go on. They can look in your book. And like you say, I know that most people are going to start prenatal or start when the baby's born. And like you say, they're not going to buy chapter by chapter. They're going to say, wow. And they're going to want to know what's going next and what's going next and what's going next. And I'm absolutely, how can I say, it's really opened my eyes because I never really thought about it in this way. Also, like you say, I've got a lot of experience with babies, baby talk, but I never actually broke it down to a manual. And I think it's a wonderful idea. thank you again for being with us on Baby Hour, and I hope you're going to join us again very, very soon. I'm Carolyn M. You were listening to Baby Hour. Keep tuned and follow us on Instagram. We're Baby Hour. Keep yourself safe and talk to you again very, very soon.
This is Baby Hour, radio for parenting.